Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports, yes we do.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We're here to talk sports, and you're hanging with Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are hyped up on a great Sports Monday in August. We're back. Vacation's over for the summer. Back on our regular schedule, our regular grind. So, you know, give us a call. You want to talk some sports, a lot going on in baseball, tons going on in the NFL. Even Jameis Winston's on ESPN, you know, for you guys who like the second week of preseason. You know, it's not the third week, but, you know, it's still preseason and it's still football. 718-664-9098. Like always, tweet at us, Ray and Tay Today, rayandtaytoday.com, the website. Check out some of the interviews. You could subscribe on YouTube to us on YouTube and on iTunes, Ray and Tay Today. We're everywhere. Check out our Instagram page. Got some slick pictures up there. T Boogie's making it happen. So even check us out at Ray and Tate Today at Instagram. Ray, it's official and it hurts. And there's not much anybody can do about it because it just happens. First, it was Kelvin Benjamin. Now, in the same game on Sunday, it's Jordy Nelson out for the season, torn ACL and a broken ankle. My man Marquise Pouncey, center for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is there anything that the NFL can do about it? And should they, in terms of less games in the preseason or star players not playing?
No, I don't think so. I think you just leave it the way it is. I'm not a huge fan of preseason, but I do think you need to do something before the season starts. You can't just go from, you know, OTAs in practice and just have week one, the football in week one, two, and three would be terrible. So Jordy Nelson's was a non-contact injury.
Exactly.
He just made a move. I mean, that could have happened on the practice field.
Yep.
So that's just unfortunate. You know, that's not even, oh, football's a physical sport and you deal with injury and sometimes you deal with it. That's just bad luck, you know, and he loses a season for that. So we'll talk fantasy implications later, but, you know, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb. But I don't know that you do anything. You can't. You can't. Look, they're down to four games. I mean, you know, it used to be five, but now they're last, I don't know, 10 years or so, they're down to four games. Only the third game matters because that's the only game where the starters will go a half. So players are pretty much protected. I don't like the fact that, for a season ticket holder, you got to pay for 10 games instead of eight.
Well, that's the thing. In the preseason, they charge full price. A lot of people are saying that those two preseason games, you know, you should really let it for fans that don't never get to go, for children, have it be less money. But you're telling billionaires to, you know, lighten their load. And I don't think that they would be agreeable to do that, which is a shame. But I think that you could have really two preseason games and 2 weeks of maybe free admittance or $5-$10 tickets to two joint practices. Like, you know how these guys practice and they want to fight and it's Tampa against Cincinnati or, you know, the Redskins and Texans. Well, why don't you just have them play a scrimmage game, not full contact, and fans could come in, get autographs, and, you know, just do that for weeks two and four and let one and three, because you still need position battles, right? You still need all this other stuff. And some guys have got to get cut. You're going from, you know, 90 to 53, so, or 100 to 53. So, you know, you still need that, but maybe just do it for two games and then 2 weeks. It's, you know, scrimmage. I don't know. It's an idea.
It's an idea, and I like it. But the point is that these injuries would have happened anyway. You know.
Oh, I totally agree. Kelvin Benjamin, that was in practice, and nobody touched him. Now Ponce, that one, that was the game. That was, and let me tell you, let's be honest, right? Hold on. I gotta shoot this off before we, you know, talk about.
You're now listening to NFL Talk. Ray.
The grimy and the gritty is straight up Marquise Pouncey. If he's out 6, 8, 10 weeks, it hurts the Steelers, I think, as much, if not more, than Jordy Nelson. And I say this because, and I know Nelson's out for the season, so Green Bay fans, don't kill Tay. But you do have Adams, and you do have the best quarterback in the league, Aaron Rodgers. And then that means the kid Janice and Ty Montgomery from Stanford, Jeff Janis and Ty Montgomery, they will move up to 3 and 4. They have Rodgers at tight end. They'll be fine. Yes, Jordy Nelson's dynamic, but he's replaced great, you know, receivers, you know, prior to him, before we knew who Jordy Nelson was. It's Aaron Rodgers who will make Davante Adams a beast and a killer for fantasy and for real life. You can't replace, the Steelers don't have a center that can duplicate Ponce. His athletic ability, his size, just his leadership and the gelling of that offensive line. Remember, that offensive line finally got itself going towards the end of last season and was becoming one of the best in the league with all of their, you know, high draft picks. So now they're hoping Adams comes back healthy, DeCastro, you know, all these other guys, they fall into line and they can do something, but they're going to miss Ponce, and that hurts the Steelers severely.
And that hurts Tay severely. I know
we're still going to the big game, baby. He'll be back eventually. Even if he comes back week 12, it's enough. We'll be fine. Ponce, get that surgery done as soon as possible. Get your rehab. Get your rest. Go talk to T.O. Get the barometric chamber. Get it going, you know, whatever you got to do. Because you know T.O. can heal fast. We got to all talk to T.O. about healing.
Yes. So we need to move on.
Well, I want to ask you this, though, and this is separate from just the injuries. This could have been an injury, and I feel like there's a weirdness with football right now, right? We're in this weird paradigm where we want to protect players and make it safe so the game's getting softer. But then at the same time, we still kind of want the hits, the contact, and the violence. So where do you fall on the line of Terrell Suggs going at Sam Bradford's knees in the second preseason game, and he's talking about, well, listen, if you're running the read option, and I'm kind of like, dude, there's got to be a little bit of something between, like, professional men that you're like, I don't have to go at a dude's knee that hasn't played 3 out of the last 4 seasons. That's how I see it. I think Suggs is wrong there. What do you feel about Bradford, Suggs? And
yeah, you know, I don't think in any way you can justify what he did. That was just, you know, they use it in baseball, and we get on baseball a little bit for this Bush League, and, you know, there's a code.
He led with the helmet. And the NFL was like, oh, it was fine. It was a legal play. That's correct. I don't know.
You know, maybe it was legal by the book, but I mean, like you said, these are grown men trying to earn a living. This is preseason. This is a guy who's got a history of injury. So really, I don't get that one either. I really don't. And this is not Terrell Suggs, you know, a 22-year-old rookie trying to make the team. I mean, Terrell Suggs is a defensive, you know, MVP. So I don't get it. I don't like it. And I'm sure down the road somebody will stick up for Bradford. And, you know, he needs to have his head on a swivel, Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, no, I agree with you with that. So let's talk about some of these battles in different teams. The Texans announced today it's over. Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback over Ryan Mallett. We'll see it tomorrow night on Hard Knocks. What do you think about that? I mean, the two expatriates who studied under Brady, well, Bill O'Brien goes with Howard. Brian Hoyer, are you surprised, or you think that's sort of how it was going to go?
You know, Ryan Mallett has had many, many chances, and he was supposed to be the guy, you know, big arm out of Arkansas, and he was supposed to be the guy in New England to back up Brady, and then he was this chip that they were going to trade. And then
what chances has he had? This is his only chance. He hasn't really had chances.
No, but everybody talked about him. Everybody was like, oh, you know, it's not like he was a secret. Let's put it that way. Everybody was like, oh, you know, he came in with a lot of fanfare, and then Bill O'Brien coached him up and then left.
Well, big
he
arm.
Back,
got a big arm.
He's got a big arm. I don't know. I mean, they see this guy in practice, and then maybe that the scrappy Hoyer, who never really got a chance in Cleveland, and we were both saying, look, at a certain point, and I'm a Manziel fan, but at a certain point, you know, Brian Hoyer earned it more than anybody else in Cleveland. And so maybe those same characteristics and attributes that he showed in Cleveland, he's showing in Houston right now. So good for him. You know, you know what you'll get with Brian Hoyer. Maybe he doesn't have the upside of a Ryan Mallett, but if they're healthy, then you just need a guy to move the chains. The problem is they're not healthy. Arian Foster's out, and you know, they got some questions at receiver.
Boy, Blue! Can Blue step
Blue,
up?
Alfred Blue,
baby. Blue.
Well, he had a couple good games, but, you know,
I think he's
a couple
good.
Good games and three or four bad games. So, yet to be determined if you should draft Alfred Blue very high when you're looking at running backs.
Well, I wouldn't say very high, but I would draft him because, for 8 weeks, he's going to be a key part, and they're definitely going to tote the rock in the Texans. So there's some more NFL stuff and some news real quick. Real quick, just to throw this at you. I had my first draft, my father, son, and mom league. So I just want to throw this roster at you, see what you think about how Tate did. I got Phillip Rivers, Calvin Johnson.
Well, first, start with how many people? Wait. It's only 10.
Okay. Five adults, five kids. Four dads, a mom, and five teenage boys who are really focused and excited about it. My son and four other kids who are friends. So I got Phillip Rivers, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Cooks, Vincent Jackson. Those are the starting receivers. Running back, DeMarco Murray, Alfred Morris, tight end, Julius Thomas. I got a flex. So right there, I've got Jeremy Maclin. Defense is the Jets. You know, the kicker is whatever, and a bunch of bench players. I won't bore you with the bench. Matt Bryan is kicker. Have Alfred Blue as one of my bench players. I took a shot on Breshad Perry.
I knew you had Alfred Blue the way you were talking about.
I got Alfred Blue, baby. I also took a shot on Winston, Kyle Rudolph, Pierre Garçon, backup, you know, receiver. But I tell you this. I took a shot, and Rashard Jennings, but I took a shot on Breshad Perryman. Instead of taking a second defense, which goes against Tate's philosophy, you know that. I said, you know what? I got Marcus Colston, old veteran. But I said, Breshad Perryman, he might really take over Torrey Smith's
ball
and do better.
Too much.
You're right. But with Flacco and that arm, he's not going to just throw to Steve Smith. And Perryman could take the top off. So I figured I'll give him a shot a couple weeks. So how you like Tate's draft?
I like that. I like the fact that you got two very solid running backs. Obviously, DeMarco Murray. I don't know if he'll get as many touches in Philly because I think they're going to spread the ball around a little bit. But him and Alfred.
He'll do more
Morris,
with less.
Like that.
He'll do more with less,
he'll
and Alfred Morris will get a lot of carries. You know.
And Alfred Morris will get it. So I like those two backs. Calvin Johnson, if he can stay healthy. Vincent Jackson, I like Mike Evans a lot, actually. But you know what? People are going to realize that these two are studs, and neither of them is going to get double teamed. So, you know
Brandon Cooks. That's Drew Brees' new guy, Brandon Cooks, I'm telling you.
And Brandon Cooks in there 8 games on the turf, and you know Drew Brees spreads it out. But he doesn't have a Jimmy Graham anymore. And he's going to be going to, you know, our guy Marcus Colston is getting a little up there, long in the tooth, the Hofstra product. So I like that. Very solid. I mean,
let me ask you this. Do you like Julius Thomas with Blake Bortles' second year? He's finally got a dynamic tight end to throw the ball to. I think Julius Thomas, because he got injured in the first week of preseason, people are forgetting about him, but he's going to be fine and healthy for week one. I think he does well with Blake Bortles. I really do.
So I believe that a tight end is a quarterback's best friend, especially early on in your career, and especially as you're trying to make a name for yourself. So think about, you know, Jay Novacek. Even though Aikman had, you know, your boy, you know, he had a bunch of receivers, right? Remember Tony Hill? He had a bunch of receivers, but he just loved Jay Novacek and Michael Irvin, but he loved Jay Novacek. And everybody loves their tight end. It's like a blanket, like Linus in his blanket. So I think that Julius Thomas could be that for Blake Bortles, right?
Could be the Linus?
It could be his Linus. But I don't think he'll have a spectacular season like he had in Denver. I think if it's a PPR league.
Yes, it is.
I think he'll get a lot of looks and he'll get a lot of touches. His yards per catch are going to be down. He might get double teamed. So he might not give you that outstanding season, but he might give you 70 catches maybe 1,000 yards or 900 yards, maybe 6 to 8 touchdowns. So less than Denver, but I think he'll still be a top, you know, top 5, top 10 tight end.
So before we leave the NFL, quick, you know, little news and notes. Michael Kendricks with the Eagles signs a 4-year extension. Your boy JPP says he's coming to Giants camp. I'm sure you heard this. It was all over Twitter on the weekend. Chris Carter, he apologizes for his statement that he had in the rookie symposium to find a fall guy.
What was that? He said, "Oh, you need a fall guy in case you get thrown in jail?"
You know, I don't know. He just wasn't thinking because I think CC's a good guy. I was just like, but he apologized. It's just like, come on, Chris, you know better than that. Because he learned from his own mistakes, you know? So.
Yeah, you would think that the guy who's on his P's and Q's is Chris Carter. And generally, he's been the most outspoken guy about doing things the right way. And
well, especially with Josh Gordon. He said that they need to cut Josh Gordon, remember?
Yeah,
he said sure. With the Browns and Josh Gordon. But this is the big news of the day, sort of. Before we wrap up football and head to the baseball diamond, the Patriots might have done it again, Ray. With LaFell banged up and Julian Edelman banged up and both of them probably playing week one, but they're just really banged up now. They get my veteran guy. How many veterans out there peddling? The Packers don't get him. The Panthers don't get him. Bill Belichick gets him. Reggie Wayne, baby, signs a deal today, 1-year deal with the New England Patriots. I like it just because even if he doesn't still have the speed, he's a great possession receiver and he's reliable, and that's what Brady wants and needs. What are your thoughts?
Perfect. I mean, this guy's a veteran. He's done his thing. He's played with Marvin Harrison and been the second guy. He's been the first guy. He's handed the torch over to T.Y. Hilton. So he's done everything in his career. Now it's just about winning, and I think he's fine playing a role. I think he's fine moving the chains, and I think he'll be great in New England.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I want to make you laugh real quick before we get to Major League Baseball. A couple of NBA notes we got to sort of clean up in the offseason. We didn't mention about J.R. Smith signing back to Cleveland for less money for 2 years. Good for him.
I know.
But this one's crazy to me. Okay, Michael Kidd Gilchrist is nearing an extension agreement, 4 years for $52 million. Now, he's more just a defensive guy, doesn't really score much for the Hornets. I guess that's the going rate for what he does do. Do you like that?
Yes,
4 years for $52 million?
No, you know, and he was the number two pick overall?
2 or 3.
I mean, this kid is a bona fide role player. He is the definition of a role player. So you maybe because he's young and maybe because you're thinking he might just develop that offensive game that we've been waiting for, but $13 million?
He's all defense. All defense. That's all he does.
All defense, and he's what, 20? He came out as a freshman, so he's probably what, 24, 25 years old. So maybe because
he's not even that old. He might be just be 21, 22.
Yeah, I guess it would be 4 years after he's 19. So yeah, 18, 19. So yeah, 22, 23 years old. So maybe you're hoping that at some point he'll go to Hakeem's big man camp And even though he's not a pure big man, but he'll get some moves or get something. But $13 million a year, I mean, you know, we're still – the cap's going to go up in basketball, and that's what all these guys are hoping
for. Yeah,
so
I guess it'll be a bargain
maybe.
That's
what justifies it a little bit, but I don't know if $13 million is a bargain, you know?
No, but I'm just saying for a guy that sticks small forwards, plays good defense, gets you offensive boards, and he can dribble and pass a little bit. You know, he's not a scorer, but maybe that's, you know, maybe he's like the new Derek McKee. You know, I don't know. So before we leave, wait, one last thing. This will make you chuckle. The Lakers are considering signing Meta World Peace.
No.
I leave you with that.
For real?
Yes.
Does Byron Scott, I mean, who wants to deal with him?
I'm reading it.
First of all, where has he been? Maybe
selling shoes in China. I'm not sure.
Oh, he's hanging out. Oh, he's hanging out with Steph Marbury. He's like, look, if Steph Marbury's making
everybody better give Steph his props. He's a businessman in China.
I tell you what, he saw that opportunity and he jumped on it, and good for him. And other people have kind of ridden it in a backdoor way. Like Tracy McGrady, because Yao Ming was his teammate, but Steph Marbury was like, I'm going to go to China and ball out in China and sell sneakers, low-end sneakers, I mean, in terms of price point, low price point sneakers, and I'm going to be the Chinese superstar. Good for him. Go ahead, Steph.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, listen, let's get ready. Let's say goodbye to football and a little basketball. Get ready to talk MLB. We'll be right back.
Yo, this is Pablo Francisco. You know what? When I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to Ray and Tay. That's right. All sports. All good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Pablo Francisco, shout out. He likes the show.
Funny, hilarious stand-up comic.
Show.
Yeah, man. We appreciate it. Funny, funny guy. Very funny. What's not funny is our Yankees. CC Sabathia on the DL. They won't even say how long. We're a half a game back to Toronto. Yikes, yikes, yikes. We're secure in the wild card. I really believe that, but I want to win the division. What are your thoughts about Blue Jays and Yankees? And is this the end of CC with the Yankees this year and maybe forever?
So CC still has money on his deal. Remember when we signed him in 2009, when he and Teixeira came, I think he originally signed for 7 years, and then they added an eighth year. So he's got two more years after this year. So we're definitely not done with him.
Okay.
And he's got, $50 million left on his contract, or some crazy number.
Ouch.
So yeah, CC's coming back. Is he done for this year? Probably. You know, he's a big guy, and when a big guy hurts his knee. He's got all that weight and torque going on his knee. I'm thinking CeCe's done for the year. I have a suspicion that he's done. In terms of the Yankees, are not winning this division, man. I look at Toronto, and I'm saying to myself, they have this murderer's row.
He put a whooping on the Angels this weekend.
Tulowitzki leads off.
I know.
And then you got Josh Donaldson, and you got Bautista and Encarnacion, and those guys, you know, it's like softball. You put your best four players first. Like, they don't bother with third, fourth, fifth. They just figure, you know what? Every third or fourth game.
The first four, the one, two, three
hitters are going to get, you know, one more at bat. And then they got their ace in David Price. I tell you what, Russell Martin is anchoring the defense and catching that pitching staff. Yankees can't deal with this. So
if you had to go to Vegas tomorrow, one AL team, would you say the Royals or Blue Jays? Who would you put your money on to win the World Series from the AL? Between those two, Royals, Blue Jays.
That's a tough one. I'd still say the Royals because of last year, because of the
and the pitching,
because of the free agent moves that they made, Johnny Cueto. You know, locking down the bullpen, the fact that they've got, you know, these guys know what they're doing and they're all back essentially from last year's team that was, you know, very close to winning themselves.
Lorenzo Big Daddy Kane is no joke.
Big Daddy Kane, Mike Moustakas, Alex Gordon. They've got enough. Because remember, in the playoffs in baseball, you're not going to be the Toronto Blue Jays, right?
You're going to manufacture runs.
You're not putting up 10 runs. You're going to win games
3-2,
4-2,
2-1.
You know, so you just have to have timely hitting and excellent pitching, and it's really nice to have that lockdown bullpen. So after the sixth inning, you know it becomes really, really hard to score on the Royals. So I like the Royals. I underplayed and undervalued their experience coming into the year, but they're the real deal.
Well, listen, you better like them. They're 12, the largest league in baseball, 12 and a half games over the Minnesota Twins. Ray, that is embarrassing how they're spanking that division where we all thought Detroit and the White Sox could be, you know, very much. And Cleveland, look, Sports Illustrated picked Cleveland to win the World Series, so they really look bad. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, listen, the Royals are like, you know what, we're not anybody's fluke. We're here to stay, and we're going to be good for a couple of years. But I think what we really got to do is look down to Texas, the state of Texas, not just Texas. Houston, they have a big series with the Yankees, so the Yankees need to step up and take care of them. Last I checked, it was 0-0. I don't know if anybody scored yet, but that's a huge series.
So still zip in the bottom of the eighth.
Oh, okay. But you better give some props to the Texas Rangers, who had a great weekend and passed the Angels for the second wild card, baby. So Texas baseball between the Houston and the Texas Rangers. Wow, they play some baseball down there in the heat.
Could you imagine 2 years ago, those were the two worst teams in baseball, and one in the American, one in the National, and obviously the Astros came over from the National to the American League, but baseball in Texas is
It's a great story.
No, it's
Nobody thought the Astros would come in first place.
And you know what? I didn't see this coming. I thought the Astros would be okay, and then but I got on them early, though. Remember, when we started talking about them in April and May, I said, these guys are for real, and they'll hold on. They'll make the playoffs. I didn't know if they'd win the division. I always thought that the Angels would win the division, but they're tough, man. And you know, the Rangers are the big surprise. I'm like, they were making moves, you know, free agency, picking up players, and then, you know, you're like, are they doing it for next year, waiting for Yu Darvish to come back and Gallardo? But these guys are winning. I mean –
Well, they've got such a strong veteran lineup, right? Offensively, they have good hitters for power, but also advancing runners, getting RBIs. Little note, Ron Washington's back in baseball. He's the third base coach for Oakland A's. They go Mike Gallego. So
our guy Mike Gallego, exactly.
Yeah. But Ron Washington, you know, I was happy to hear that.
Also, Prince Fielder credit, right?
Oh, yeah.
We don't talk about him as much as we did when he was, you know, back in the days. But this guy is having a really, really solid season. He's batting.
He's probably third place in AL MVP voting. That's what I would say.
Yeah, but quietly, and Trout. Don't you think?
Not so quiet. Remember at the All-Star break? The All-Star break, I told you, I said I think he could win MVP. He's up there. But he's been good.
And then Adrian Beltre and Elvis Andrus and Sinsu Chu, a guy who signed for some big money in Cleveland, and then they moved him. And that big trade, obviously, Ian Kinsler for Prince Fielder. So, you know what? Big things, baseball in the state of Texas, right? A football state, doing big things in Texas. Could you imagine? I mean, we had the Subway Series with the Yankees and Mets in 2000. In 85, you had the Kansas City St. Louis, the series.
I-70.
You had I-70, exactly. You had the Earthquake and the Bay Area Series when in 89 when it was Oakland versus the Giants.
Yes, series by the Bay.
If you had the All-Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they can't play each other in the World Series because of obviously they're in the same league. But could you imagine if
they were in the AL championship? Yeah.
ALCS, Houston and Texas.
Wow.
The Rangers and the Astros going at it.
That would be something. I think the biggest one,
Nolan
though,
Ryan would have to throw out the first pitch at every game.
No, I know, definitely. But I'll tell you this, it won't happen this year, but if it ever happened, I think the Cubs and White Sox would be huge. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's a whole north side, south side thing in Chicago.
That would be huge. That would be big.
Yeah, for sure.
But listen, we still got a shot for Yankees and Mets, so let's not give up. And let's go to the National League and talk about it. I mean, our Yankees – wait, I want to say this, though, real quick about the Yanks. A-Rod, his bat – I mean, we're just the Bronx Bombers. All we do is hit home runs. But in the last, like, 30 games, this guy's batting, like, 216. He's batting, like, 130 or 140 in the last, like, 2-3 weeks. He's struggling. And Teixeira's disappeared. Those two have got to wake their bats up for us to do anything. We can't just rely on McCann and – you know, Ellsbury and a couple other guys, like those two bats, unfortunately, we don't manufacture runs. We hit homers. And we need those guys for us to win anything, or else we'll be in the first round and we'll be out.
Yeah, it's funny. Our pitching is overachieving and our bats last 2 weeks are underachieving. So that cost us. I mean, we were up 7 games, on August 10th or 14th or
I
whatever.
Mean, you can imagine the first wild card game, Texas in New York, and, you know, Prince Fielder hits a 2-3 run homer. We're down 3-0, and we might not be able to come back if we're going up against Cole Hamels.
Yeah, we don't
and
have juice in it.
Yeah,
and
we'll
lineup,
be done in round one, in one game.
It's all or none.
Yeah, so now we got to talk about the Mets. David Wright. What's going on? I don't have, obviously, the New York channels. See in the lineup.
David Wright came back. Oh, yeah.
Back.
He came back, hit a home run in his first at-bat.
Wow.
David Wright doing big things. He's actually having a big game. He's 2-for-3, 3 runs scored, has an RBI from the home run.
How big is that for the Mets?
That's huge.
And this is
David
coming
Wright.
Off of a weekend in Colorado, Ray, where they put up, like, 12 runs, 16 runs. Like, they had 3 games with almost over 10-digit runs. That was ridiculous. Their offense
you know
is
what?
On fire.
On fire. For a team that couldn't hit, you know, for years, their top of their lineup and with the moves that they made is not bad, right? Juan Lagares hitting 263, Daniel Murphy hitting 286, and then your boy, Yoenis Cespedes. 267. David Wright, of course, in a small sample size, 361. Wilmer Flores at 267. Travis d'Arnaud at 267. And then Michael Kadire, former batting champ, hitting 255. You know, Ruben Tejada, you know, light hitting shortstop, is still hitting 260. So you got a squad where the worst guy hitting is, what, 260? It's Wilmer Flores.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Ruben Tejada at 260.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, that's not bad at all.
You know, they're 5 games over the Washington Nationals. I think we're going to have to write the obituary for your Nats. I don't think they can do it.
Well, we'll get to that in a sec. But, yeah, I believe these Mets,
I don't think
especially
they can
with
do
the
it.
Pitching. When you can pitch, it's nice to pitch from ahead, right? They've got a nice little lineup there. It's interesting because even to the Mets are up 13-7. Jacob DeGrom got bombed. He gave up 6 earned runs in 2 2/3.
That's not like
him. By the way, but check this out. It brings his ERA up to 2.29. So
oh, no. I told you.
6 earned runs.
No, he's my guy. I can't say enough about him. So one bad outing, I'm not even upset. And guess what? The offense has got his back, and they're going to still win. So good for him.
Yeah, 13-7.
So we got to talk about what the Astros did to the Dodgers over the weekend. No hit them on Friday, and they swept them. I mean, the Dodgers, love you blue, baby. The Dodgers, Ray, they are really struggling, and it seems like as they added more players and more help, they've just gotten worse. They're only a game and a half up over the San Francisco Giants. Arizona, yes, folks, and we'll talk about that later in our segment. Arizona is only 5 games back. The Padres are still sniffing around at 6.5 games. What is happening with my man Mattingly and the Dodgers? I don't want to see him get fired, Ray, but it's heading in a bad direction, I'm telling you.
It's not looking good for Donnie Baseball, and you know he's our guy. But anytime, and it doesn't matter who the coach is, anytime you have a $300 million payroll and or for tax, for luxury tax purposes anyway, and you have all the talent that they've assembled, and Magic Johnson and that ownership team is on a spending spree, and they have these unbelievable pitchers, and they have star players, and they just got Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley and, you know, old-time veterans to go with Puig, and Jock Peterson can't hit a lick since the All-Star break, but, you know, he's a young, talented guy. He just hit a bit of a tailspin.
That home run derby got him. Not everybody can do it.
You need to be concerned if you're the Dodgers, because this is your year. I mean, you figured everybody thought, well, at least me, thought that the Nationals would run away with the National League and win 95 games. And then the Dodgers would be the second best team. And then who knows what would happen after that. You kind of, I guess we should have expected the Cardinals to be there all the time because that's just who they are. And now you look at it, and if you don't even make the playoffs, I mean, look, the Dodgers will make the playoffs if and only if they win that division, because
right, because you don't know right now the Cubs are playing so good and the Pirates are so far ahead.
Exactly, you know? The Pirates and the Cubs are what is it 8 and then 5 games in the loss column ahead of the Dodgers. So if the Dodgers get caught, that means they're going to go on a losing streak. So the Dodgers have to win this division. So essentially, they have a game and a half of breathing room, because other than that, they are not winning a wild card. So I don't want to say it's panic time in L.A., because I actually still think that they'll hold off and beat the Giants. But, you know, maybe it's Pat. You're not quite at Pat Nick, but you're at Pat. You're a PA.
In your back.
So you got a pat. But it also helps, though, that every fifth day, you know, day one and day two, you're throwing out Kershaw and Greinke. So, again, I think they'll hold on, but there's concern in L.A. Chavez Ravine, I mean, they're not smiling so much right now. The Giants are right on their tail.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not drinking too much like your boy at USC.
Oh, Lord.
We didn't mention him, but, you know, look, he apologized. Sarkisian, you know, Pat Aiden's like, what are you doing? You know, it's a, you know, hype up everybody for the Trojans. You know, LA's football's back in USC, and he's cursing out teams and calling out names. You gotta watch it at all times, right? This is an event, and you're a college coach of a major team. You can't be drinking too much and then cursing on the mic. You just can't do it.
Well, especially because somebody somewhere is going to pull out a smartphone and capture you on tape.
Of course.
So nothing is
nothing's private.
So you got to think that everything you do is for public consumption.
That's right. Well, especially when you're at a public event and a public figure, even if it's sort of private for USC boosters and alum, you know, it's still kind of not private. You know what I mean? So, but back to the baseball. I don't know. Like, I still believe Giants or Dodgers, they still got a shot with the Cubs, because I don't know if the Cubs are consistently going to pitch well enough. Like, we know they're for real. Madden is great. But I don't know if the Cubs in the home stretch, I mean, 20 games over 500 is ridiculous. But they do have some tough – the schedule is getting a little bit tougher coming up. They got some, you know, tough matchups. Let's see the next 2 weeks. You know, we get to that second week, first week, you know, maybe Labor Day. Let's see if the Cubs still have that lead over the Giants and Dodgers that, you know, that one of those guys couldn't still get in. I would be fascinated to see how it plays out. Can the Cubbies handle their success? They got the right manager to do it, but they got a lot of young guys. What is it, 4 rookies starting in that lineup, Ray?
Yeah, and they're all talented rookies. I mean, these kids are here to stay, but you're right when it comes to Joe Maddon is the right guy for that team. What a fantastic perfect matchup. And they asked him, they said, can you win? He said, yeah, of course we could win the whole thing. Why not?
Love him, my dog.
He gives these young kids confidence, and he doesn't take crap from anybody. Remember, anybody that can have success in Tampa Bay with that awful stadium and running up against the Yankees, the Blue Jays,
the Red Sox, and the Orioles
every year.
All that money.
Still, all that money and all that talent and always being the underdog and still making it to a World Series, losing, what they lose to Philly that year in 08. But this guy, Madden, is perfect for the Cubs. And, again, I expected them to be middle of the road this year and you know, really good next year. But these guys are here to stay. I'm worried for the Giants and Dodgers that they won't make, you know, they won't make that wild card.
Really? Yeah. No, you know, listen, it's one of those things where it's just got to play out, and you could totally be right. It would be sad, because I think Giants and Dodgers, both of them, they've got the makeup that if they get in, they could win it all. Do you know what I mean? So
sure.
You'd hate to see one of them not get in. But I'm excited to see new blood. I mean, come on. To see the Mets, bring the Pirates back. I mean, it would be great to see the Cubs. Of course, the Cardinals are there. But, you know, I think it would, you know, that's why we were looking forward to hopefully the Padres, you know, winning it and or getting a wild card. And, you know, between the Padres, Mariners, and White Sox, wow, the most three disappointing, you know, I mean, obviously the Tigers, they're real disappointing, but teams that you thought that just they were ready to do it this year and do something, what a blow, man, for Seattle, the White Sox, and obviously the Tigers and Nationals, right? That's obvious, but, you know, I feel bad for the Padres. I really, really do. So I think it's about that time where we get into our segment. Ray and Tay, we've been getting some emails, you know. And listen, we're reading your emails. Trust us, next week, Monday, a week from today, is our college football preview. Ray, folks are getting hyped up for the college football season. They liked when we talked about the quarterbacks last week. But they're itching to talk about college football, and we're going to give it to them August 31st. Stay tuned. Check out RayandTayToday.com. We'll give you that insight and those updates, and just we'll pick the Heisman, the conference winners, the, you know, the playoff. And the championship is out here. Ray and Tay might try to get up in that building out here in Glendale. It's going to be amazing this year. But, Ray, our segment, we say it to teams, players, it's I'm sorry. We apologize. We have made a mistake or wronged someone. I'm going to let you start. Who and what and why are you sorry, Ray? What are you sorry about?
So usually we say I'm sorry to teams or to players because we call them out and we just, you know, don't give them enough credit, or we underestimate, or we disrespect, or in some ways just don't give credit where credit is due. I'm going to take a different spin this week, and I'm going to say I'm sorry to a fan base. I'm sorry that I got caught up in the hype and believed. And, you know, it's hard to win 95 or even 100 games in Major League Baseball. I mean, I'm sure people have done it. I'm going to take a guess here and say people have done it, I don't know, 20 times. You've won 100 games, 20, 25 times since they went to the 162-game schedule. I thought that this team right here could win 100 games. I thought that this team was this good that they could win the NL East by 15 games. It's also a statement on the rest of the NL East. So that's another story. But I personally apologize to the fans in the District of Columbia, in Maryland, in Virginia, anybody who is a Washington National fan, I got caught up in the moment And I apologize. I apologize. I got caught up in the moment. I thought this team would win anywhere between 95 and 101 games. Oof. And they just did not. This team is terrible. This team is terrible. I shouldn't say they're terrible. That's a little over-exaggeration. They are terribly underachieving. And this team, the Washington Nationals, who had what I thought could be one of the best pitching rosters in baseball history, right? You get a Max Scherzer in his prime. You have a Zimmerman. You have a Gio Gonzalez. You have a Steven Strasburg. I mean, this lineup was just unreal. The pitching staff was I thought, was for the ages. And you have your MVP in Bryce Harper, who is the only one really playing at that level. And for some reason, and we talked about this a couple times, but for some reason, they couldn't hit this year. You know, Escobar is the only one that's hitting along with Bryce Harper. Ian Desmond can't hit. Espinoza can't hit. You know, these guys that you thought were going to be, you know, they brought in Papelbon to close up the, shore up the bullpen. Rendon can't hit this year. For some reason, nobody on this team can hit. And Jason Worth and Zimmerman, you know, you just look up and down this roster and you keep saying, you know, it's not one guy underachieving, it's one guy achieving. You know, it's Bryce Harper on offense, and everybody else is having a below-average year. And, you know, you look at the back of a baseball card and you say to yourself, all right, you know, you play to the back of your baseball card. Only guy playing above his baseball card is Bryce Harper. And, like I said, Yuniel Escobar maybe is playing slightly above, and everybody else is below their baseball card. So it's the perfect storm, and this unbelievable pitching staff, decent offensive team, decent offensive roster, just is laying an egg. They're letting the Mets take that division. They are one game over 123 games into the season. They're one game over 500, five games behind the Mets. Mets are going to win today behind a big offensive performance. So, Washington National fans all around the district, I'm sorry. I got caught up in the hype. I'll try not to do it again. I'm sure it'll happen again. I still apologize. I still apologize for getting your hopes up. So, sorry to the fans of the Washington Nationals.
Wow. You know, and when you made those picks, you know, I was like, wow, you know, they got a chance. But does the manager get fired? Did I get rid of our boy Williams?
Matt Williams, I mean, the hitting coach, the manager, was an offensive guy, too. I think so. I mean, you don't want to see it happen, but he might. He might, yep. But, I hate to say it, but he might.
It is hard to say. I mean, you don't feel like he deserves it because of the injuries. But guess what? Other teams in baseball have injuries, and other teams have still overcome. So, I don't know. But I told you, I thought it was the glue, which is Rendon. Rendon, his injury was the worst one, I think, for me, for them, because he's the glue offensively. He's sort of their glue guy. I really felt that. But, yeah, I feel you. I'm sorry. Well, listen, I'm sorry. And mine is a little different in the sense that I'm a native New Yorker. I love New York teams, live in Scottsdale now. It was very hard to see the Arizona Diamondbacks beat our Yankees in a 2001 World Series after 9/11. You know, but we had Brenly on to talk about it when he won. He was the manager, and Gonzalez and Schilling and Randy Johnson and everybody winning, you know, the home games. And it just, you know, that one hurt Ray and Tay. You know, it hurt us. But this Diamondback franchise, they went through Kirk Gibson and, you know, made the playoffs, won a division in 2011 and got everybody excited. Then he just got fired. They hired Chip Hale, who was with the Giants, you know. And now he's come over Dave Stewart has come, Tony La Russa, and they've sort of changed everything with the Diamondbacks. And I think right now what they're building with Chip Hale, it's right. And mentally it's right. And physically, emotionally, and they got rid of some guys that just weren't supposed to be here. That they hustle every day, they play every minute. And it's led by what you would call America's first baseman. That's what they're calling him. Paul Goldschmidt, who easily could be the National League MVP this year. If he doesn't get it, it's just because, you know, maybe they don't win enough games. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? After sweeping the Reds and winning four in a row, they are only 6 games behind the Dodgers for the NL West, 61-60 in 121 games. Goldie's batting .330, 24 homers, 93 ribbies. I mean, this type of season is, you know, it's written all over the place. On base percentage is .445. Wow. And, you know, he's got help because A.J. Pollock's got 150 hits. So that's a nice Robin. And A.J. Pollock, you know, an all-star, great glove in center field. The Diamondbacks organization, it's looking healthy. And I think, you know, you've got Infante, Peralta. David Peralta's, you know, good player. The young kid is starting to get it together. Yosmani Tomas. You know, you don't know about Tomas, Yosmani. You know, we got Castillo. So there's some guys, Jake Lamb maybe gets it going. There's some guys here that I think want to win. And I'm sorry for not believing in what they did. And really, I should know better because La Russa and Dave Stewart are two class guys. I didn't know so much about Chip Hale, except that I knew that he was, you know, I'm sorry, he came from the A's organization. You know, he was over there with our guy, Bob Melvin, who's a friend of Bob Brenly. So I should have known Chip Hale was, you know, the right man. But, boy, is he the right man for the job. And you know what? Their pitching's getting better. You know, they've had some mistakes. They got rid of Trumbo. You know, De La Rosa is kind of doing his thing. He's got 11 wins. So, you know, they got a little thing going there with him. Ruby, you know, he's doing it, a crowd favorite. I think they're not ready this year. And I think what they're doing now, they're a little ahead of schedule, right? Chase Anderson is doing good. You know, one of their best in ERA. It's not great. It's, you know, it's 4.28. So, you know, kind of struggling. But when they start to get things together, and they still need a little bit, you know, another starting pitcher. You know, maybe still got to figure out the bullpen. You know, right now Zeiger's got 23 saves. You know, not the great. You know, I don't know if Brad Zeiger is going to be the answer. But I'm telling you, I'm sorry for not believing in the direction that they're headed. And I think the Arizona Diamondbacks next year could be an NL wild card. Maybe not ready to win the division, but they are going to be in the running with a couple of offseason moves, Ray. I think you could see the D-backs.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this as a NL West guy right now, sitting in Arizona, and you know we love the Dodgers and the top of that rotation, and the Giants have won 3 of the past 6 years, and the Padres, we thought, had turned it around a little bit with Matt Kemp and some offseason moves, but they didn't do anything. And Bud Black.
Right. Their money they wasn't spent wisely. It didn't work out, right.
Let me ask you a question. If you are a GM of a team, would you take the Dodgers out, obviously, but would you rather be in the Giants and Brian Sabian, would you rather be the GM of the Padres, the Rockies, or your Arizona Diamondbacks?
Well, I think it's hard for me to tell a free agent pitcher to come to Colorado. I think Arizona's got a better stadium. You could say sometimes it's offensive, sometimes it's defensive, depending on sort of the lighting, if they open up the roof and da-da-da-da-da, whatever. So I think it plays better to defensive baseball. San Diego, I think they tried to throw money at it, and they took chances, right, with Kemp and Myers. And you know, I thought it would work out, but it didn't. You know, James Shields has been okay, but their moves haven't, for some reason, really worked out. And I'm sort of, I just don't, you know, Upton's played well. It's like they've had some individuals that played well, but they didn't gel as a team. So what I think now with the Diamondbacks, when you've got Pollock and Goldschmidt to build around, you can say, you know what? We got 9.5 months of great weather. You know, we don't, you know, our fan base is building. And maybe, hey, maybe it's not the best, but if we start winning, they'll come. And we've got a first baseman and a center fielder that are here for a long time. And we've got other role players. We've got some good defensive players to build around, a couple of young arms. And if they add a Johnny Cueto or a David Price and then go get a bat or two, I really think that they could be in contention for the wild card. I don't think there's any reason why not. Goldschmidt, if you put, I wouldn't even want to say if you put like a Lorenzo Cain here, because I like what AJ Pollock does, but you know what I mean? Like if you put a good table setter and then another RBI guy to protect him, man, this lineup could be really solid, you know? And Pollock just, you know, we'll see what Yasmani Tomas becomes, because he could wind up being something special. So we'll see. I think they got a shot, man.
Basically, you're saying to all you fans in the desert out there,
let's
it may
go.
Not be 2001 again.
Phoenix, stand up.
On the back of Paul Goldschmidt, you guys have a chance in the NL West. Is that what you're saying?
I'm definitely saying it, and I'm sorry for not riding with you.
Okay. All right.
I didn't
but
ride
you know
dirty
what?
With
at Ray and Tay, we're not afraid to apologize. We stick our necks out sometimes, and sometimes we're wrong, but we always stand up to our words, and we apologize. So we'll even write you a letter if we're really bad and we really messed up. We'll write you an apology letter.
Yeah,
so these are general apologies. When we get to individuals, we write letters. Dear so-and-so, I'm apologizing for disrespecting you before the season and you go out and win the MVP.
I'm sorry to the Cincinnati Red fans for what the way this franchise is just collapsing and not doing nothing and getting rid of everybody. It's ridiculous, Ray.
Todd Frazier and that All-Star game, but that's about it. You know, there's not much to be excited about in Cincinnati right now.
Got to be frustrated, right? Because they have talent, but then you can't let Cueto go. You got to sign Aroldis Chapman. You know, you got Phillips. You got these guys. You got to keep them. You got to keep people. And to me, yeah, build around Frazier. Keep all these guys, keep people. Don't let them go. That's it.
Well, yeah, that'll soon be a turnaround project in Cincinnati. So.
Yeah. Well, look, we're back Friday. Everybody enjoy the rest of the sports week. We're coming strong for everybody to get ready with our fantasy football preview. We'll give you a little touch of, you know, maybe some MLB or the hot news of the day. Preview. Get ready for your fantasy football draft. If you're doing DraftKings or we love FanDuel, if you're doing FanDuel or just doing a regular ESPN, NFL, Yahoo, CBS, My Fantasy League, whatever you're doing your fantasy league in, Ray and Tay will break down how to draft. We're going to rank the key positions. We'll rank them all. We'll do receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, tight end, defense. Break it down for you. Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. You come check it out. Ray and Tay today will have you ready to win your fantasy football league. I'm excited, Ray.
I am fired up. And if you are a fantasy football fan, you'll love that show. And you should listen to us all year round, because not only are we going to talk about football, we're going to talk about fantasy. We're going to get you ready, like Tay said. We're going to get you ready for your leagues, for your drafts. And if you're playing all year in a rotisserie style, or if you're playing daily in fantasy one-day leagues, or in the case of football, weekly leagues.
One-week leagues, yeah.
Ray and Tay is where it's at. So come listen to us. Check out the podcast. listen live. If you can't listen live, download it on iTunes. Come to our site. Come to Blog Talk Radio. Check us out, Ray and Tay Today. Listen to our predictions. And you know what? If you disagree with us, let us know. Shoot us a tweet. Shoot us an email.
Or send us an email. Yep, Ray. You can shoot us emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We definitely get back to you, and we'll take notice and listen. So have a great sports week, and we'll see you on Friday. Thanks for talking sports with friends.
Out.
Peace.